They shouldn't be in the game. They get a point. We score a perfectly good goal. Make it 2-0. Game's done, dusted. We win the game. Officials cost us 2 points, Dave. It's standard.
10 past 10. Most of the children are probably in bed, but these boys are fucking mentality giants. It's unbelievable.
Shaqiri, hasn't he the funniest shape? He's a little chunky fella. They'll fight for the tree.
It's a joke. We've gone about far this, far that. Help the officials out. Clearly they need help. Clearly, we play in the Premier League. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Hello and welcome to a special roundtable episode of the Three at the Back podcast, and a happy COVID-19 lockdown to you wherever you are in the world. I hope you're safe and staying at home in a nostalgia-filled haze of classy matches and memories of time gone by when football existed as a live event. Those were the days. Well, thankfully for reporters on the Irish football beat, the FAI slammed a massive story on their work-from-home laps this past weekend when it was announced that Stephen Kenny would be taking over as Ireland manager from Mick McCarthy with immediate effect. While Mick is left to wonder, albeit a few quid richer, if Ireland would have gotten over Slovakia and indeed Bosnia and into a Euro 2020 campaign this summer, as Kenny is fast-tracked into the role he was sitting and waiting for post-Euro 2020. So we will now get the opportunity to take Ireland to the Euros in 2021, pending a qualification campaign that Mick had already started. So to go through all of those ramifications and fallout from this, I'm joined as usual by Phil Green. And for some expertise, we're joined by Oisin McQuarrons of Pundit Arena and Kevin Higgins of Kenny's Kids. How are you, lads?
Hey, how's it going, lads?
How's it going?
Well, there's so much to get through, really. I mean, not only does this story have Mick and Kenny at the very heart of it, ever since John Delaney announced the succession plan, which kind of baffled everyone at the very beginning. And in true John Delaney fashion, it's kind of come to pieces in the midst of a global pandemic. So there's the onboarding of the new backroom staff. There's the small problem of Robbie Keane still floating about with a long-term contract. You have the players who may now potentially miss out on a European campaign despite being a regular under Mick. And of course, you have a kind of a whole range of new faces we'll get into a little bit later that will be knocking on the door for a place in the squad, if not the starting 11 under Stephen. I suppose to begin, Phil, with yourself, let's gauge room on this and see if it was the right move from a footballing standpoint. I mean, obviously, contractually, it was going to happen, and it's just been fast-forwarded considering there's no Euro 2020. But in this current environment, with all that's going on in the world of sport, it wouldn't have been completely mental to kind of change tack and keep Mick on board for another year. Do you think the FAI could have cooked the books again and kept Mick on until he completed his end of the bargain?
I suppose my first reaction when I heard the news breaking out of Off the Ball was one of surprise. I mean, like you mentioned at the start of the podcast, we've gotten used to football not actually being a live going concern at the minute. So having some actual news that wasn't related to if and when the Premier League starts back was a bit weird. And then the other bit of the surprise was that you were not that used to the FAI acting so swiftly or decisively, or at least we haven't been over the last kind of 10 or 15 years. So to see them do that in the midst of all this kind of vast nothingness was a little weird. When I've had time to think about it, I suppose it's only made more sense to me. Like, Mick probably does have the right to feel a little disappointed. He said, like he said in his statement, not aggrieved, not let down, but disappointed that he doesn't get to bring the one qualification campaign he was involved into a natural conclusion. But the problem is, with the timing of the Euro now, it comes in after the start of the World Cup qualifiers. And so you'd have this weird situation where Mick would be hanging on to potentially playing the Euros, but actually would have to take half the World Cup qualifiers, meaning that Kenny's first campaign would actually be a half campaign. And so they were, because of the pushing out of the Euros, I think their hand was forced, even more so than like whatever dates were on contract, because we know that there's loads of footballers and kit manufacturers and sponsors who are going through the exact same thing at the minute. His contract's going to be flipped around and kind of pushed out or whatever. But when you look at the fact that there are, I think there's fixtures in March and there's fixtures scheduled for June, which are now going to have to be moved in the World Cup qualifiers, and that Mick then would have had to take. You're kind of cutting the legs from under Kenny. So while he's now really under pressure for his first competitive game, which is going to be this playoff, if you look even slightly longer, I don't see how they could have done much else.
Oisin, in the aftermath of all this, it seemed that most of, I'd say, if you want to put a better word on it, the pro Mick side were ex-players and players who probably would have worked under him. Whereas I think gauging fans' reaction was mostly kind of like, okay, it's Kenny's time now and we're kind of looking forward to that era of football. Do you think, maybe kind of being familiar with the Irish setup, that where would you kind of fall between those two cracks?
I think kind of to echo Phil's point a little bit, I was very surprised, I have to say, when I heard that it was that Kenny was taking over. I thought they'd definitely go with Mick for the playoff. Now, I know, obviously, the mitigating factor of having to push the playoff back. We don't know when it's going to be. I think the FAI were saying they're targeting November. Who knows if what's going to happen between now and then. In terms of it being Kenny's time, yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely beneficial. I mean, for him to get more time to kind of to look at his pool of players, to assess how they're going to line up, stuff like that, it's key. And it kind of just, for him, I suppose, for Kenny, it cuts out all that kind of the unknown, whereby he can finally now start to plan. Because, I mean, up to last Saturday, I'm sure his head was somewhere where he doesn't know when he's going to come in. I mean, there was probably even talk of if he's going to come in, are they going to stick with Mick through the Euros, what's going to happen with so many different outside factors. So yeah, I think Kenny will be delighted to step in. I think the fan perspective is probably one of, I don't think there's a split, but there is, I think, that kind of that section that kind of still feel like he has to prove himself or something. And I think a lot of ex-pros are kind of like that too. There's, I think I read Richard Dunn's column in The Independent, and he mentioned that a few players had texted him, or he'd been texting a few players, and they've been asking, who is this Stephen Kenny type thing? Now, I think that's a bit kind of living under a rock type thing a little bit, because if you're in the Ireland squad, you surely know who Stephen Kenny is. You kind of, okay, you mightn't be too familiar with him, but I think that was a little bit of a stretch. But I still think there's this kind of idea that he has to prove himself. Personally, I don't think he does. I think what he's done with Dundalk at both a domestic and European level has been tremendous. What he's done with the 21s, I mean, every kind of challenge in recent times, okay, we can maybe take away, say, like the Dunfermline and the Rover stuff, but every kind of recent challenge he's been set, he's overcome, he's kind of exceeded expectations. So, yeah, I think there is that section of fans, maybe ex-players, some people who kind of still feel like there's something there yet to prove. But I think it's kind of split whereby the old school type mentality will favour perhaps McCarthy staying on, whereas the new kind of people who want to see some change and want to see the team playing a different style, new players integrated in, I think will be pro-Kenny anyway.
Kevin, I mean, whenever we hear from people familiar with Stephen Kenny, and I enjoyed Andy Lee's tweet when he said, he was at a conference or something with Kenny, and he asked him for some advice in relation to some boxing issue, and he just said whatever Kenny said to him, it worked. And I imagine it was maybe something around Tyson Fury's fight, who knows. But he's clearly a very intelligent, very astute manager, and it seems like if you're familiar with his work, he is the real deal, as it were, and it's just a matter of time before kind of more people get on board with that. Where did you stand on making that decision this weekend?
Yeah, well, I think when we look back to the contract issues, it kind of was made clear that it nearly had to happen. I don't 100% know how bad the FAI finances are right now, but the cost of, you know, extending one contract whilst keeping the same rolling over, there was that kind of financial aspect alone really kind of, you know, made it a clear decision. I'm not too sure where any discussions had with Mick McCarthy on whether he'd be happy to forego, say, certain wages to keep it going or you know, come to some sort of agreement. But at the end of the day, it was a playoff that's now going to take place after the beginning of the campaign that Stephen Kenny was supposed to be part of. And that just made a clear cut for me. You know, you couldn't have Stephen Kenny managing, say, Nations League and World Cup qualifiers and then switching back all of a sudden to Mick for the playoffs. So it isn't a decision that I think there's too much controversy around. One of those, when you look back at it, it's just kind of this nearly had to be done, you know.
I'm kind of interested to gauge how we all kind of look back on the second coming of Mick. I mean, his legacy is important because coming in, I think he had two jobs, really. One was to get results on track and get us to the Euros. But I also think he had the job of easing the relationship with the players. I mean, it had become so stale under Martin O'Neill and the fans as well, because by the end of that tenure, things were so negative and it was becoming increasingly difficult to kind of get behind the team. I mean, he had a short shelf life. In terms of records, it was, I think he played 10 games, won 5, lost 1, which was against Switzerland. And okay, the football didn't change drastically. But Oisin, are we saying goodbye to Mick with a bit of a sweeter taste than we did Martin O'Neill?
I think it's a really difficult one to kind of to gauge, I think, because, I mean, like, the cynic in me looks back on Mick's second reign and I don't think I'm impressed really at all. Mm. I mean, when he first came in, I was very optimistic. And I think the Georgia game where Conor Hearn scored that free kick, I thought they played brilliant. I thought that was one of the best I've seen them play in quite a long time. But then I think from there, I don't know if we fell into all ways or if Mick kind of felt that his remit was kind of literally just get results no matter how poorly we play at times. I think this whole thing about how we only lost one game to Switzerland is a little bit kind of, I mean, it's a bit of a fugazi, I suppose, in the sense that because like we beat Gibraltar barely away from home. We barely beat them at home as well. Then, of course, there was the draw away to Georgia. That's a poor result. Like, you could probably look back and say we had more poor results than we had good results under Mick. I kind of a little bit feel sorry for him in the sense that he didn't get the chance to really have a goodbye. Now, had Ireland have played Slovakia, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago or last week, I don't think they would have won under Mick. I'm a bit more optimistic under Stephen Kenny, but I don't think they would have won that game. So is it better, I suppose, for him to kind of go out on that? Probably is for him. I think overall, looking back on McCarthy's second reign, I don't think it'll be looked back overly successful, but I don't think it'll be looked back as, say, one of the worst managerial reigns we've ever had. Mm. I just think it'll be kind of maybe somewhere in the middle. I mean, we had no standout result under Mick, which is, I think, like, if you look back at Martin O'Neill's reign, now already had much, much longer. He had those standout results, Germany, Austria, I think it was a good result, Wales away as well. But McCarthy didn't quite have that kind of standout result. So I think that would be a knock on him a little bit. But yeah, I think his second round will probably fall somewhere in the middle of Ireland managerial reigns.
Phil?
Yeah, I suppose for me, I actually had to have a quick look at the results there just to remind myself of the order in which things actually happened for Mick. And I know Oisin was talking about that Georgia game. That was Mick's first home game back. I mean, you have to remember the backdrop to that game was the tennis ball protest against the FAI and probably the peak of the toxicity between the fans and Irish football, or the FAI controlled Irish football. So that kind of feeds into your point, Kev, that you mentioned at the top of this segment that that Mick had a job in his hands to get the players back on side after O'Neill, but he had a job in his hands to kind of plumage the fans in a very tricky period for the FAI. He had to be a company man without coming across as being a company man, which was tricky for him. And I think probably his most lasting mark on his second stint as Ireland manager will be the off-the-pitch stuff, which we all know Mick's quite good at. He'll talk the hind legs of a donkey. He's really likeable and affable kind of guy. In the actual qualifying, we bet Gibraltar twice and that Georgia win once, and that was it in terms of victories. This game that we have coming up against Slovakia would have been here for whatever manager it was going to be if Mick had lost all his games. So Mick's actual on-field impact has been null and void because this playoff was earned through another disastrous Nations League game. Or campaign, like, we didn't win the games there either. Like, we could have lost every game we played since Martin O'Neill was manager and still been in this exact position. So that probably doesn't say loads for the impact of either of the managers we've had in that time. But I think Mick will be judged kinder and more kindly because he is that kind of likeable guy, and he was coming into, as we've said, a really tricky situation with the players, with the fans, with the FAI. He didn't bring us on in a football sense like, I mean, if Jack Byrne goes on to have an international career that we hope he does, Mick can say that he kind of gave him a go, and, you know, he could Jose style add him to his dossier of young players. But I think the off the pitch stuff which he inherited, which was not to be underestimated, was a really tricky situation. I think he did that quite well in terms of football, maybe a bit mixed.
Kevin, a kind of mixed tenure was bookended by the Martin O'Neill era and the coronavirus. So kind of two forgetful periods in our lives. I'm sure we'll all agree. Where do you stand on Mick's legacy?
Overall, I think it was somewhat decent. I mean, the field more so than anything. I definitely agree with the results that, you know, if we were to say have given Stephen Kenyon the job immediately, which I reckon we should have, we would still be in a position of a playoff if we didn't actually meet the promotion requirement. So I think it will largely be seen as a grey area. One particular thing that kind of annoyed me now was the public pursuit of, say, foreign players, players who were, you know, say 25, 26 years old. Mick was making, you know, public phone calls out trying to get them to play for Ireland. And we had some circumstances like, say, Will Keane, where he accepted, but then Mick then reckoned he wasn't actually good enough for the call-up, and he's well down the, you know, the list of strikers that we would actually have playing for us. You then had the likes of, say, Patrick Bamford, who apparently he made continuous phone calls to. He just didn't get a response. You then had Nathan Redmond and James Maddison, who also rejected. And I'm all for, of course, pursuing and getting the best crop of players we can get together. I just think how public all of these pursuits were, and how some of them, in my opinion, came across as a bit embarrassing, like, say, with the Patrick Bamford example, that left a bit of a sour taste. But in terms of on the field, I mean, he got most of the results we wanted, was close enough to, you know, the promotion slots. It's unfortunate it turned out the way it did, but you know, all looking towards the future now, you know.
That's a good point you made, and I was actually going to bring it up later on when we got into talking about some of the players that Kenny will bring in. And I was thinking, not necessarily for the likes of Bamford, you know, guys who are kind of mid to late in their career, but if you're 17, 18 years old and you're kind of on the fence between Ireland and England or whoever else, is Kenny a guy you'll likely listen to? And is he capable of convincing guys who are kind of humming and hawing over who their our national allegiance will lie with?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a few players out there. Now, what I find is the place that you grow up in, it generally seems to be the defining factor for the country you eventually declare for. A lot of the English players who have declared, I don't want to be too cynical about it, but a lot of it has come across as where, you know, they haven't quite made the England squad, or they realise that their future isn't going to be with that senior national team. So then they look at what the other options are. But you look at, say, the likes of Louis Barry, for example. He was playing at Barcelona and he's moved back to one of the Premier League clubs now. You got Mipo Odubeko at West Ham. He's been banging them in since his promotion from under-18s. He was with the Man U youth setup. There's a number of players from various different countries that we could look to. But at the same time, the home crop that we have is so promising, and yeah, a lot of them have made massive strides over the last 12, 18 months. So there will be a case with some of them where, you know, good to pursue them, but at the same time, we might not need them, you know.
Well, that would be even better, really, if we could rely on guys who've kind of been with Ireland all the way up along. Kind of moving away from Mick and Kenny for a second, and not long after the announcement at the weekend, his backroom staff was confirmed, which again kind of caught me by surprise considering how quickly that was bedded in. And I was pleasantly surprised to see Damien Duff amongst them. Obviously, we all know how good of a footballer he was, and he's also very highly rated as a coach. And no disrespect to Robbie Keane, but Duff kind of has more of an accomplished CV where you could say, yeah, there's a legendary ex-player who belongs in the dugout. In addition to him, we brought in Keith Andrews, who I find speaking to people as a pundit, he kind of has a bit of a Marmite reputation. But I've always been impressed with him. And I think if you take into consideration his wealth of knowledge covering the Football League, he'll be very familiar with a cohort of the players that Kenny may be looking to bring in from the Championship in League One. So for me, it was a fairly impressive lineup. A statement of intent, I think, from Kenny, that he has two highly respected ex-players with plenty of value to add. What did you think, Phil?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think with Andrews, like you said, he's very well ensconced in Football League coverage for Sky and people like that. And I think there's a certain humility that I like about that. I mean, you see a lot of kind of people, well, Keith Andrews' profile has had a couple of years playing in the Premier League, who'll try and place themselves into the middle of a Premier League conversation when really they their faith mightn't fit all that well. Whereas Andrews actually seems to have enough of a genuine interest in football and an acceptance that where he played most of the football was in the Championship, that he's kind of made himself a little niche there. And like you said, it'll give him a degree of familiarity that might have been lacking in, now I don't want to cast any aspersions on Robbie Keane or Terry Connors and what sort of work they were doing, but there's kind of going to be a familiarity, you'd hope, there from Andrews with some of our younger players. And then in terms of Duffer, I couldn't agree anymore. Like, you hear him speak on RTE, he comes across as really thoughtful about things. You see that, like, he started out with Rovers. Again, kind of a humility in that, like, one of our best ever players, and he's coaching kids at Shamrock Rovers, as opposed to, I mean, and again, not to pick on Robbie, but, you know, the story is that he basically forced himself into the ticket. I mean, like, whether that's exactly how it played out or not, it kind of jars a lot with how Duff's gone about things. And he's very well regarded in Celtic now. Apparently, it looked like he was going to finish up his work there anyway. But, I'm really enthused by what they've put together. And Alan Kelly just seems to be the kind of continuity man, like the civil servant who hangs around for the new government. And I don't know how many, like, all the way back to, obviously, his playing days, he might just be involved in Ireland managing setups until he's ready to call it a day. He's going to be like Mick Byrne, maybe. but I think it's a good setup. And I think, to your point about who is Stephen Kenny a big enough name to talk to these young players who are maybe on the fence, but who to represent. I mean, you can send Damien Duff, who's won Premier Leagues at Chelsea, to talk to them and kind of explain why Ireland would be a good choice. I think it's exciting. And especially when you're considering it's two young, relatively recently retired players.
Oshin?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm super excited for the current ticket. I think Duff is a great get, just from what I've heard, really. He's been doing excellently at Celtic, I've heard. I like that point, Philip, you mentioned there. He kind of started, again, no disrespect to Rovers, but like he started at the bottom and he's kind of worked his way up here. As opposed to maybe perhaps what Keane would have done. I think the Andrews point is really interesting as well. I think, I mean, if Kenny trusts him enough to bring him up, I think that's probably enough for me, really. And that's not to say he doesn't trust Jim Crawford, because obviously he's got the 21 job, which is also great. But I think I do have time for Andrews. I think he's quite good. I'd watch the Championship. I'm a Leeds fan, so I'd be forced to watch the Championship quite a lot. so on Sky Sports, he is good. He's eloquent. He knows the league. And as you kind of said, Phil, like, as you're watching it, you're not kind of thinking, here's a player who is perhaps a Premier League player who's coming, who's in studio and he's talking about the Championship and he doesn't quite kind of know the ins and outs of it. Whenever you hear Andrews, you know he watches Championship games, he's into it. So, yeah, I think I'm excited for that. I think the three of those together could be a nice mix. Obviously, Alan Kelly there too, which is crazy. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But the three of those guys together, I think could be really, really, a really good unit. I think Duff could be great for even someone like an Aaron Connolly or someone like that. I think being in that position and being able to speak to someone like Duff during an international break, I think it'd be hugely beneficial to so many young players. And we have a lot of young players, a lot of talented wingers, a lot of wide men, even a lot of strikers could benefit from a voice from him. I think as a whole, I think the three of them, fingers crossed, will work quite well together. I'm hugely excited for that. I'm hugely excited, especially to see Duff, just to really kind of get, because I've only heard that he's been doing good things at Celtic. He's doing great things at Rovers, but I'm now really intrigued to actually see what he is like and what he does bring to to the side.
Kevin?
Yeah, I was just going to say the backroom staff very much comes across as if you know, stimulated a few years in Football Manager. All of the ex-internationals doing their coaching courses. So, definitely, I think overall they found a decent balance. I'm curious as to know what the story is with Robbie Keane and how things have progressed. I forget exactly what interview it was now, but the CEO of the FAI was stating that they were going to enter negotiations with Robbie Keane, and this is after they announced the managerial change. I would have thought now they would have had those negotiations prior to, you know, going public with all the various changes. Now it's not really a headache of their own making. As far as I recall, it was John Delaney who gave Robbie Keane the 4-year contract whilst giving Mick McCarthy a single campaign contract. So there's a bit of an imbalance there. Questions to be answered, but I suppose I'm nearly happy not to have John Delaney around and to have him around half answering the mistakes that he made, you know.
Just on that, Kevin, I think like the thing that's confusing me is where does he fit? Who as another assistant, I don't think that's probably going to work, really. The fact that they kind of have to defend, there's just been so many weird things. I think if they wanted Keane in, they would have just had him in. There wouldn't be this hemming and hawing over it. I think I think Keane is probably pushing hard to be included. I don't think Kenny is keen to have him. I don't know that. It's just a hunch, but I just think it's the whole situation is just. Keane is not really coming out in the best light, I don't think, from this. He's still obviously a player, hugely respected. What he's done for Ireland is incredible, but this is kind of a weird situation. I think the quicker it ends, I think the better for both sides, really.
I know we've held ourselves Sorry, Kev, go on.
Oh, no, go on yourself. It's grand.
I know we hold ourselves to higher standards on this podcast than looking at Twitter mudslinging, but then you see... Claudine King, his wife was tweeting the FAI's announcement of Keith Andrews and Damien Duff on the ticket. Loyalty means everything. It was a quote retweet. her and Brian McFadden standing up for Robbie Keane. So like that just speaks to your point, Oisín, about like Keane not coming out great a bit. Like just you know, like the messaging isn't great. I mean, whatever the actual outcome is, it's not exactly a great look to have. You know, Robbie Keane's wife slamming the FAI.
I just think we have to kind of leave this sentimental thing in the past as well. You know what I mean? I think I love Robbie Keane, obviously. Like Robbie Keane done for himself was incredible. No one will ever, I don't think, break that goal scoring record. But like, I think we kind of have to put that to the side a little bit and be like, well, okay, if he hasn't earned a spot on the coaching ticket, then I don't think it should be the end of the world for him to leave. I know he'll probably be due a big payout. Like Mick was, but I just think perhaps it's just time to go for him and that be the end of it.
Because from day one, he wasn't even Mick's choice, and now he's landed into his second managership in a couple of years, and he's still not under consideration. So I was kind of wondering, like, when does it get to a point where too many ex-players spoil the brat on the training field? I mean, is he just going to be a really well-paid penalty coach, you know, like where do you put him without downgrading him down to under-21s and beyond? So I think really there's no other choice but to kind of terminate his contract, and that kind of leaves a sour taste then where you're leaving your record goal scorer in a position where, you know, would he ever feel belonged in the FAI again? You know, if another manager came along and says, okay, I want to get Keane in, will Keane want to be a part of that team, you know? So it's kind of a sticky situation that, once again, John Delaney's doing. So it hasn't been a good couple of years in terms of his decision-making. If we get on to the players that are there at the moment, and I think it's important to look at guys who Kenny might be looking to replace. You know, you'd have to wonder, have we seen the last of the likes of Glenn Whelan, who kind of had a late resurgence under Mick after he was put into retirement by by Martin O'Neill for a couple of months? maybe James McLean is kind of going to get quietly put to pasture as well. And guys like James Collins, I don't want to single him out, but guys that have been kind of knocking around the periphery of recent squads where you'd see that place maybe better going to some of the younger players. Oisin, I saw you had a piece up on Pundit Arena and you were kind of cautious to make too many changes.
Yeah.
But where do you see Kenny's stance on who's there at the moment that we could possibly make a few youthful upgrades on?
Yeah, I think Glenn Whelan's probably the main one, and that's absolutely not a knock on him at all. I think Whelan actually was probably, and now this is in context, I think he was probably one of our best players during the European qualifying campaign. But I just think, I mean, the likes of like Josh Cullen and Jason Malumbi, there's so many different options there. I think that can be an upgrade on the level that Whelan is operating at now. I think someone like McLean will actually probably still be, I think he'll still be a squad player under Kenny. And I think Kenny is the kind of manager who could probably get the best out of a player like McLean. I think he worked with him at Derry. I'm not 100% sure. I think he did. But so I think where Kenny can kind of influence the team, not only bringing through 21 players, which I think he will do, but I think he can kind of improve players that, like someone like a Jeff Hendrick, or someone like, say, a Conor Horan, who we know can operate at quite a high level, but maybe in the past for Ireland has just kind of not quite done it consistently, or just hasn't kind of reached that level. Even someone like Alan Brown, I think he could really influence those kind of players to hopefully really push on. I think if you look at the team now, though, I think Kenny has got quite a nice base. I mean, like, there's not many of the back five I'd change. I think the Doherty-Coleman thing is probably still going to be going to be a debate under Kenny. Maybe Coleman will be phased out, Doherty brought in, I don't know. But I don't think there's too many kind of areas that he's going to upgrade on. One that I am interested in is David McGoldrick. Obviously, he's been fantastic. I think he's a brilliant player. I love his touch. I think he's just fantastic frontman, but he doesn't necessarily score goals. Is Kenny going to want someone who is more direct, someone like, obviously, like an Adam Ida, who is perhaps more of a natural goal scorer, a natural target man, a natural frontman, then perhaps a McGoldrick who would link up the play a little bit better? Then will he drop McGoldrick back? I think that's a real a position of intrigue, I think, say the front three or four. But in terms of what players he'll change, I agree with you in terms of, I think, your fringe player, someone like James Collins. I think Alan Judge probably will be out. Scott Hogan, I know he's hit some form. I would have probably said he'd be out before, but given his form, maybe he'll be in. So I think a couple of those fringe players will be out. I do think McLean will probably still be a place in around squad for him, and my hope is that he'll kind of improve players who had kind of stagnated a little bit under McCarthy and give them a little new lease of life.
Phil, I'm just looking at the squad here and kind of looking, following on Oisin's point, you know, you've likes of Robbie Brady as well, who's kind of, he had a fantastic 3 or 4 years there, kind of in the middle of Martin O'Neill's managership. He's going to be one you'd imagine that Kenny will want to get the best out of. McLean, would you be considering him as a squad player, or McGoldrick?
I think the players who are going to initially benefit in the very short term from Stephen Kenny before he gets his chance to kind of get stuck in with all of them are those players who are already technically quite good, because Kenny's going to want to play to the strengths of those players. So like people exactly like Robbie Brady should fit really well into the way Stephen Kenny wants to play. I think that also stands true for David McGoldrick. I completely agree with Oisin. He doesn't score enough goals to be the main attacking threat, I don't think, for a team looking to, you know, win a match. But I think technically he's too good. His touch, his vision, his ability to spot a pass, I think is probably too good to get rid of. And I mean, the good news for Ireland is that before the Premier League came to a halt, Shane Long had started scoring goals again. And he's very much that kind of direct threat. Like, I completely agree, Adam Ida, like, if it came to the World Cup campaign, I'd have no problem Adam Ida being right in the mix. But for this playoff that's coming in November, he, again, in the theme of not mixing things up too much, it might just be easier to reintroduce Shane Long to the squad and ask him to do what Shane Long does when he's playing his best. But as for McLean, it depends on how Kenny's going to set up the team. McLean could suffer if Kenny wants to play three at the back, or five at the back, whatever you want to call it, and depending on where the fullbacks fall out, McLean could struggle, because that's where you think he'd fit in naturally in a three or a five. But we've got two of the actual best wing backs in the Premier League in the squad, and Stevens and Doherty. So he might just get squeezed out of the starting team in that place that was always his under McCarthy and O'Neill. But I'd agree with Oisin. I don't think he'll be throwing the baby out with the bathwater just yet on McLean.
Kevin, another player we have mentioned, and we mentioned a few attackers, and he was the kind of the name on everyone's lips before the likes of Troy Parrott came along, and from a League of Ireland standpoint, Jack Byrne, and that's Seanie Maguire. And I mean, he kind of, I remember the game against Gibraltar, away to Gibraltar, and it was a really squashed pitch, and he started up front, and I know there was a lot of excitement to see what he could do, because up until that point, he hadn't really made an impact for Ireland. Would he be a player you'd circle that Kenny could possibly get the best out of? Because he's kind of, the initial kind of hype around him when he was at Cork City has kind of faded away, but he has managed to stick around at Preston and kind of establish himself there as a starting striker.
Yeah, he's definitely kept a starting place at Preston, and I've noticed as well that they've began to use him on the wings a bit more. Looking at his stats this season, he's very much more providing than scoring himself. It will be interesting to see Kenny in one of, say, the Friendlies or Nations League games to go for a front two. I've always been curious to see what, say, David McGoldrick and Shane Long would be like up front together, because they're both nearly kind of supporting strikers. But maybe one of them and the likes of Maguire or the likes of Ida could be a nice mix between someone who has the eye for the goal and someone who has the eye for setting up the guy for the goal, you know?
I think that's interesting on Maguire, because I think he could probably do, he moved Connolly. I think Kenny was the one who kind of decided to play Connolly out wide. I think he did it in two long tournaments. I think he's probably one of the first to do, because from what I think, anyway, Connolly was a natural striker, I think, with the under 23s at Brighton. So I'll be interested to see if he could maybe, I know you mentioned, Kevin, that he does play there at Preston, but if he could move Maguire maybe and completely change him to be just a pure winger, I'd be interested to see if, because he has those, all the attributes to shine there, I suppose, in that he's quick, he's kind of nippy, he could inside, he'll grab a goal. So I'd be interested to see what he'd do there, if he'd maybe convert Maguire into a full-timer.
Yeah, and I think from Stephen Kenny's time at the under-21s, he's very much shown that he wants his wingers to be able to cut inside, and he uses, you know, the left-footed player on the right wing, the right-footed on the left, etc. That does leave a lot of questions as to, if we're going with a front three, who do we play on the right-hand side? Because the likes of James McLean and Robbie Brady are traditional kind of left-wingers. Will he be able to get them to perform well as inside forwards on the right? I'm not too sure, but you'd imagine Callum Robinson, who's, you know, someone who's doing great at club level, but we haven't quite gotten the best at national team level, as to whether, you know, I can imagine Stephen Kenny will stick him into the left inside forward slot. But again, all of these players, they're very dynamic, that they could play as part of a front two. But Maguire, yeah, I mean, he should definitely stay in the mix, and it'd be interesting to see him in different positions now with those. Well, hopefully we get as many games as possible now before Slovakia.
Kevin, as the proprietor of Kenny's Kids World, it feels like now is your time to shine, really, after a few years of work keeping track of the under 21 side and beyond. And we've spoken on the podcast before at length, really, of what feels like a really strong generation of players coming through from the under 21 group and downwards, as well as guys who've probably been overlooked until now as senior players. And I know we're a long way away from any semblance of football at the moment, but who would be on your immediate radar of guys who Kenny would have penciled in as players who could make an impact in the senior squad sooner rather than later?
Well, I think Oisin was good to make the point of, say, the likes of Alan Brown and Josh Cullen, players who have been on the fringe but who could really shine under a Stephen Kenny style team. I think Oisin was mentioned as well in a recent article that Dan Crowley could be someone who gets brought in, and he was playing fantastic for Birmingham this season. He's been played on the right wing, the left wing, attacking mid. But looking further down, I mean, players who have been in and around it already, like Connolly, Obafemi. I'm curious as to whether, say, someone like Darrell Shea might get called up because he's so influential for the under-21s in the defence, but he's currently thriving with a team that are on the cusp now of Premier League football. Could he be, say, someone who goes in instead of the likes of, say, Kevin Long, who's not getting the minutes at Burnley? But there's also, you know, Connor Masterson, there's Nathan Collins, who had recent reports of interest from Arsenal and Chelsea and that. So there's a lot of young options who can come true. I suppose we now just have this caveat of here are the playoffs, and will Stephen Kenny give a certain level of loyalty to those who brought the campaign to this point, or will he look to see the players who he feels might be better at this time? It's really an unknown at this stage, you know.
And I think kind of before the whole coronavirus took hold, there were a couple of players starting to establish themselves, and we have a few in the Championship. But there's one guy in the Premier League, and I don't think we even mentioned him in the last show, and that's Will Smallbone. He kind of popped out of nowhere into a starting role at Southampton and really impressed. Is he a player you would imagine fitting in somewhere for Kenny?
Yeah, I think so. I think he fits perfectly with how he had been, or how Stephen Kenny had been playing for the under-21s. He uses these kind of, say, dynamic midfielders. You had, you know, Jason Knight, Gavin Kilkenny, players who can play out on the wing, calm, centre midfield. They can nearly do the whole lot for you. Smallbone was put in the middle of the midfield for Southampton in the FA Cup and the two Premier League appearances he made. So I think at least one of them now was man of the match. He's definitely well suited for the role. Surprising now, he actually hasn't gotten any under 21 caps yet, but he was injured for most of 2019. I think Luke O'Connell was another one of those who, you know, he's been touted for the senior team. I think he even got that call up once, but hasn't unfortunately gotten any under 21 caps due to injuries and that, you know.
And another name who kind of was starting to get a bit of attention. And I think, Oisin, you were very high on him when we had you on the show a few months back, is Jason Malumbi. And any mention I hear of him, you know, he kind of has a lot of the attributes you want from a centre midfielder in terms of kind of his leadership and his intangibles. And he, Oisin, I think you mentioned him on your article. Would he be a guy who could kind of come in straight away and kind of stamp his foot on a squad place?
Yeah, I think he's probably the most likely to do so. I think he's probably the most likely to be a starter, maybe, in comparison to the other guys, like your guys like Darrell Shea, who are kind of probably... I do think Darrell Shea would be a squad player, but I think Malumbi has the opportunity to slot right in there. I mean, you look at the level he's playing at. A strong Millwall side. They're seventh. They were seventh. They're still seventh in the Championship. He's played a rake of games at that level. He's still so young. Brighton offered him, I think, a new 3-year deal. So I think he has all the attributes to slot in there. I don't think the midfield has been our strongest position anyway under McCarthy. So there are spots there. It's not like, say, maybe I think the defence would be much harder to break into, whereas the midfield, I think there are opportunities to jump in there. I think where Malumbi, I think, would thrive, though, would be better alongside maybe a holder like a James McCarthy. I think there's this idea that he is kind of a more defensive midfielder. I think he's definitely more suited to being a box-to-box and to being allowed kind of to get into the box more so than to have just that pure defensive duties. I think he will be in Kenny's first squad. Will he start? I'm not sure. I think he has the opportunity to. As you said, I am extremely high on him. I think he just continues to get better and better. He's a different kind of player to anything we have at the moment. I said it the last time I was on here, but he's the kind of player that, which I really love, is that when you watch him, you know he's playing. I think someone like Jeff Hendrick, you can watch an Ireland game for 60 minutes or a Burnley game for 60 minutes, and Jeff Hendrick will pop up with a cross, and he'll go, didn't know Jeff Hendrick was playing. Whereas Jason Malumbi, straight away, minute one, he'll punch into a tackle. You'll see him geeing up his teammates. You know straight away that he's playing. So I think Malumbi's, he's one of those that I think is definitely he should definitely be one to break through, and I think he'd be one to break through early under Stephen Kenny.
Kevin, to pluck another name out of the list, and I think he's very highly rated by Kenny. He's played a lot for the under-21s, and looking at his profile now, he's 22 years of age, is Conor Ronan. He hasn't, I think he's on the books at Wolves, and he was out in Eastern Europe on loan at one point. You might correct me if I'm wrong there, and he's kind of floated about. Is he a guy who could come into the squad, or would you be kind of hesitant? Would you rather see him establish himself at club level first?
I think he's definitely an option. He was out at, I think if I recall, it's DAC Dunjas Streda or something like that. It's one of the better teams in the Slovakian League. Now, that was after a time when he was in League One, and things went okay, but they didn't go as well as he'd hoped. So I think they got him out there into a league where it was more technically based and not so much on the physical side. So he's back now at Blackpool, and he's been doing fantastic. So when we talk about how Kenny plays, a lot of times he likes to use an advanced playmaker ahead of a midfield too. I know Jack Byrne's perfectly suited for that role. But yeah, Conor Ronan's another option. When we look at who could do it at the moment, I mean, most people who you consider you'll be taken out of their natural position to put him in that attacking midfield. I was pondering to say, would even say someone like Dave McGoldrick actually be all right in that role? I'm not too sure, but he's definitely on the list for me. If I had to pick an attacking midfielder, he would certainly make my top three or four, you know.
Yeah, I think I agree with that one, Kevin. I think Ron has a real shot of being in there. I think Kenny's already proven that he's a big fan of him, and the way he does play with that kind of, with that number 10, I think other than Jack Byrne, there is kind of no, as you mentioned there is kind of no other real natural number 10s. And I think if Kenny's going to pick a squad, he's going to want to have a little bit of depth in that position. And Ronan is probably, at this moment in time, you could argue he could be the second choice to slot in there. And he has been playing really well at club level. And we saw the second half of the Sweden game, he came on and he completely changed the game. That's the kind of impact he can have. Maybe he does need a few more games at club level. I know he has done very well, though, as you said, Kevin, at Blackpool. I think he'd kind of just been finding his feet as well before the season was suspended, which is disappointing enough from his perspective. But yeah, I think he's a player who's in with a real shot of being included.
And I think we'll probably be amiss not to mention our old friend Troy Parrott at this point, who's probably have one of the strangest starts to his international career and club career, really. I mean, the amount of Colin Minch's he's taken up at this point, whether it be for Ireland or for Spurs, the whole thing with Jose Mourinho and what getting a couple of minutes and the match ball on his debut. He's kind of crept into the front pages as well, which is disappointing to see. And I suppose you probably take a pinch of salt as well with those kind of stories. But in terms of his football, I mean, it's hard to look past anyone else in terms of how high of a ceiling they have. Is he a player Kenny will say, okay, he has the talent, I'm going to bring him in? Or will he want to establish himself at Spurs first, or maybe get a loan somewhere? Because we've been kind of crying out for him in terms of there being no one else really that we could say point to as having that kind of that superstar kind of quality in terms of a young player.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Parrott's,
sorry, go on, Kevin.
It's difficult to know what way Kenny will go in terms of the, you know, Mick McCarthy wants you playing regular football at senior level to merit a call up. Stephen Kenny, I mean, it's hard to know with the under 21s because naturally you'd be calling up players from, say, under 23 Premier League sides, players who aren't playing regular with the seniors. So it's very hard to know on that side of things as to whether he'll look at Parrott not getting minutes at Tottenham and go, but you know, you can stick with the under 21s. Or the one thing that he does have on his side, of course, is age. Like, he's eligible for the under 21s for the next 3 years at least. So there's lots of time to think about it. But I think it will largely come down to tactically how he lines up. And of course, you know, we have so many strikers right now who are either well established at a decent level or coming through. So I won't be surprised if he doesn't get called up, but I wouldn't be too surprised if he does either. We are, of course, crying out for that regular goal scorer long term, you know.
Yeah, I don't really have too much more to add to that. I think I agree with you as well, in the sense that I don't think there's any kind of panic to get him involved in the senior team straight away. I think there probably is. You said it there. There probably are players like, I mean, your more senior players, obviously McGoldrick, Long. And then I even think at this stage, probably Adam Oida is ahead of him in terms of just, in terms of senior experience, stuff like that. Obviously, he has age on the side. But I think Oida, Obafemi, Connolly, I think are probably just ahead of him in that sense. So I don't think there's any rush. I think he could probably use someone like Adam Oida jumping up and then him being a well-established player with the 21s, because he's still kind of have been a little bit in and out. But no, I don't think there's any rush. I think perhaps the odd call-up maybe for friendly stuff like that. To be fair to McCarthy, I know it was kind of a bit of a get bums in seats type tactic to kind of play him for that New Zealand game. But I did think they actually probably, what McCarthy did with him was probably correct in the sense to call him up for that game, give him solid minutes. I thought he played very well. So yeah, I don't think there's any panic in bringing him back into the senior fold, really.
Plus, so far, lads, understandably, we've been talking a lot about the players that Kenny would have encountered under 21, but where he cut his teeth and where he made his name was in the League of Ireland. Jack Byrne obviously has been involved in squads now for the bulk of the last year. Do you think that Byrne is going to have a chance to establish himself under Kenny? And do you think there are any other League of Ireland players that might be able to make a breakthrough over the course of Kenny's couple of campaigns?
Yeah, I think so. I think Byrne will probably end up being quite an influential player, I think, under Kenny. The way he plays, I think Kenny will really, really love working with him. We all know Byrne. I think in terms of other players who could establish themselves, I think someone like Michael Duffy is a really interesting one, because he's worked with Kenny before, and he played some of his best football under Kenny. He has been exceptional as well, and I think the first five games of the season, I think he scored 3 goals and got 2 assists, or it could be the other way around. Anyway, he's producing that in every single game. So I'd be really interested to see if he's a player who Stephen Kenny kind of calls up. I think Graham Burke is probably one too who he could have an eye on, in the sense that, again, it's so hard to kind of gauge it now with the season suspended, and they only had, like, I think it was only 5 games in, so it is a difficult one. But I think Burke only played twice, and he obviously scored 5 goals in one game. So if the league returns and he can continue some kind of form like that, I think he definitely has a shot of being called up. I'd say probably Burke and Duffy would probably be, for me, for my money anyway, so far, would probably be the main two that he'd look to call up. Unless you kind of go down maybe the ranks, someone like a Liam Scales, who was with 21s, or Ferrugia, who he had with 21s. But I'd imagine probably, I'd say Jack Byrne is far and away the number one who he'd pick. And then maybe I'd say in the second echelon, you'd have probably Michael Duffy and Graham Burke. But as I said, it is so hard to gauge, having only played, 5 games of the season so far.
Kevin, have you any names to add outside of those that Oisin's given us there?
No, just to actually repeat the same names in pretty much the same order, I have to say. other than an outside of, you know, if, say, as Oisin was mentioned, the likes of a Liam Scales, a Perut, a Danny Manju, if one of them starts to show that they can be dominant in their performances week in, week out, then they may merit that call-up. I know now it was the form that the likes of Jack Byrne and Graham Burke were given at their club that made, you know, national managers come, scout them, eventually get the call-ups and the caps. So it's something where, yeah, they're going to have to show dominance. Now, at the same time, that seems to be around the time that the English clubs start to come looking. So, I would name, say, El Buzetti as having an outside chance, given we have struggled on the right wing. But of course, he got taken from Waterford now over to Lincoln. There's a few, but I think there'd be a fair more who might be looking at an under 21 call up as opposed to the senior. If you look at some of the younger players who are starting to get senior team minutes in the League of Ireland, that a lot of them will have hope, especially with some of the under 21 players moving up to senior level.
And I mean, like, I was just about to say, if we had Keane on the show, no doubt he'd mentioned a whole rake of Dundalk players that should be that should be starting for the Irish team at this point. Kenny, just to pick up on your last point there, and I think we'd probably be amiss not to mention Jim Crawford, who takes the reins of the under-21s with John O'Shea, of all people. Again, what looks like a really strong staff there to take over from Kenny's role, with Jim coming up from the under-18s. So he should have a fair deal of familiarity with a lot of the players there. Is there any guys who you'd bracket under Jim's under-21 side who may not be senior players right now, maybe in the under-18 group, who could kind of make that step up with a view to coming into the senior squad and down the line?
Yeah, well, I think obviously, as we mentioned, Will Smallbone is a shoo-in for the under-21s, if not possibly the senior team itself. You'll have Luke O'Connell, who isn't getting first-team minutes at the moment. He's on Celtic reserves, but he's one who was around with the under-21s for a while. It's just unfortunate that he got the injury, so he should make his debut now under Crawford. There's a few with the under-19s now from the last campaign. You got, say, Oisin McEntee at Newcastle under-23s, Lewis Richards at Wolves, Ryan Cassidy at Watford, Conor Noss at Borussia Mönchengladbach. But even then, say, someone like Joe Hodge, who, you know, was standout for us with the under-19s. Is he too young? I'm not too sure. He's only with the under-18s at Man City, but he'd be someone as well worth considering. I suppose there's also as well Yassin Enea. He's playing for Nottingham Forest under-23s and made his debut against Chelsea this season in the Cup. He's someone now who I think has publicly expressed his interest to play for Ireland, and he's young enough, so he's another consideration for the attack for the under-21s.
Yeah, Kim, I just think to kind of continue on that point, I think a player that I've kind of always looked at, well, not always looked at, but in recent times, I think Jamie Bolton, I think you're really interested to see what, if he can kind of establish himself perhaps with the 21s. Because I know he's highly rated at Spurs. I think they offered him a new contract there only recently enough. And he impresses with the 23s whenever he plays. And he's been in the 19s and stuff like that for Ireland. So I'm just intrigued as to your thoughts on him as a talent. I think, do you think he's kind of one who could make that step up as well to the 21s?
Definitely, yeah. And I think he might have actually gotten the call up last time round, if not for injury. But he was out for a number of months with Tottenham. But he'd be one now who Mourinho has commented before. I'm not too sure if he's had a number of sessions with the first team, but it's really a thing of, we have probably the strongest under-21 midfield we've had in decades. We're waiting for them, you know, to move on to the senior team. Once they do move on, that will open up the door for your, you know, your Smallbone, your Connell, Bowden. Even looking out towards the wings, players like Armstrong, Ogho Flex, Tyreek Wright of Aston Villa, there's a bunch of them who are in waiting. They're making great progress for their clubs, and it's just a matter, yeah, of how many of these established under-21 players get moved along with Kenny up to the seniors.
And I mean, just flicking through the squads, it seems like never before have we had so many players at Premier League and high-level clubs in their underage setup, which can only be a good sign for the future.
Yeah,
definitely.
I just made my point now.
I think it's extremely promising. I agree with you there. Kevin, I actually was doing the exact same thing earlier, and I was kind of going through the 19s and 21s, and the amount of players playing at a high level is outstanding. I think the kind of most important thing is the continuity, the kind of the natural progression up the ranks for players, because I think there has been in the past kind of this disconnect between certain teams, but I think that it needs to flow a lot better. I think it has flown a lot better in the past maybe year and a half or so. So I think we kind of saw it a little bit with the I think it was the 19s or the 17s, one of those tournaments during the summer, when a lot of the clubs didn't allow their players out. I know, like, the likes of Leo Connor would have been playing, or I think Leo Connor was there, but the likes of Parrott and that weren't. It was the 19s weren't allowed out by their clubs during the summer, and we kind of saw the natural progression of 17s stepping up and doing really well. So I think that's important, just the natural kind of that all the ranks flow a little bit better and continue to do so under Kenny.
And I mean, it'd probably be fair to say that out of every senior manager that we've had in the recent past, that Kenny won't be blinkered in terms of the senior squad. Like, he will have interaction with the guys down the ranks, and he will very much be keeping an eye on guys and progression and making sure that there's plans in place that players have a feasible kind of means of going from step to step with a view to perhaps long-term getting into the senior squad.
Well, he'll know the players as well, which is so crucial, because I think what McCarthy's kind of a downfall a little bit was that he trusted players that he knew, and he was kind of a little bit rigid in the sense that if he didn't know a player, maybe it would take him a little bit of time to warm to him or a little bit of time to trust him. Whereby Kenny now, even if he is of that top process, well, sure, he's worked with that whole group of 21s for over a year, so he knows what these players are capable of. So then he'll be more likely then to kind of drop them, not in the deep end per se, but more likely to, I suppose, give them a chance, I think.
Yeah, and look, Kenny's on record himself as saying that in his time as 21's boss, they've been looking at the pool of the best players from 5 age groups. So that's from 16s right up. And that speaks to your point, Lucian, about the flow, that it's very much been part of his remit in the short time he's been with 21s. And you'd hope then, as you say, probably for the first time since Brian Kerr, we have somebody who has a proper appreciation of the structures underneath it. You'd hope it would nearly be like a club environment, in that there'd be people playing in a certain way and doing certain things to eventually fit into the jigsaw that is the senior team.
Exciting times ahead, absolutely. And I mean, when all this is over, whenever that may be, I'm sure we'll reconvene after Kenny's first couple of games in charge and see where things are progressing and who's involved, which I think is what's most exciting about this step to Stephen Kenny, is to see some of those younger players that we've been kind of talking about and looking at for so long, and especially since Kevin has come along with Kenny's kids to highlight so many guys who kind of been under the radar up until now and finally make it a chance with the senior setup. Because the talent is there, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. So I think overall, plenty of positivity around the Irish squad at the moment, the whole setup. And we just have to wait for football to come back so we can talk about actual football. Thanks for joining tonight, Kevin and Oisin.
No worries.
And Phil, pleasure. Of course.
Thanks very much for having me, Kev.
Take care.
Nice one, thanks.